Thank you for inviting me. And this talk is on hyperbolic groups or graphs. So there's very little to very little to do with this algebra. So I talk on graph. Graphic graph. But my graph is always identified with vertex set, and it's regarded as a metric space, discrete metric space. So gamma is a graph, and it's same as a vertex set. And any x and y in gamma, the distance is given by mean of path it connects x and y. So graph is connected. So this is finite. That there is x0, which is x, and x1, and xn in xn, which is y, in gamma, such that the each xk is adjacent to xk plus 1. Yeah?
So there's some notion of adjacency. The graph is more than just the vertex.
Yes. Vertex plus adjacent.
Yes.
But I mean when I write x, y in gamma, which means it's vertex.
Yes.
Vertex set plus adjacent. Yes. And plus this distance.
Yes.
And yes. And example, most of the time, example is actually K graph, which come from gamma is a group with a finite set, actually finite or not doesn't matter, but then for defining K graph, but then in my case it's always finite, with a finite set of generators. This finite set. Okay, this is denoted by S. Then I just declare that x is adjacent to xs for each x in gamma and s in s. And length with respect to this finite set of generator is that minimum of n, such that x is written by S1, no, there exists S1 to Sn in, if it's symmetric, it only S is fine, but it may not be symmetric, in this case I add inverse, such that X is S1 to Sn. And it's clear that distance, in this case, distance x, y is nothing but the length of x inverse y.
What is this last supposed to be? This thing? That.
What?
That last.
This one?
This last big word.
Oh, S.
That word, S or what?
This is a finite set of generators.
Okay. because
you have
so many, and so I just said, what is this?
And the case of free group, just two generators generated by A and B.
Yeah.
Then this graph is like this, looks like this, perhaps. Lots of you have seen this in some pairs. But it starts from I unit 1. and then pass to A, you get A here, or A square here, or B here, or B inverse here, or then, I don't know, this place is A, B. Okay. And so on. And this is a tree. Tree means that there is no root. And the theorem of Fogel of 78, or if you are French, theorem of Cartier, I don't know. But it says that if gamma is a tree, meaning that just there is no root, then the root of distance is Hilbertian. That it method comes from Hilbert space. Hilbertian. And the proof is very simple. That first pick any base point on this tree. And consider the map to the characteristic function from this base point to x. I just expired discrete, but discrete is possible to be discrete. You can consider it either edge or vertex, but I only consider vertex. Okay, thank you.
Because we have to prove the parallelogram one.
Yes. That's the idea here. Anyway, you can check this norm of these two vectors in L2, that in every three point looks like this, or otherwise it's line. But the point here, x is here, y is here. And chi, the characteristic function from 0 to, this is the characteristic function on these points, and y is on these points. And if you subtract this from that, then this point remains, and it is just equal to the distance of x and y. And this distance or any function in two variable function that is kernel on gamma plus gamma, which is square root of Hilbertian, is called conditionally negative definite, and it has the following property by Schoenberg. Actually, if I'm wrong, this means that the R to the D is from gamma times gamma to 0, 1 is positive definite. For any R between 0 and 1, but 0 between 0 and 1, actually 1 is also in the 4K, but I don't know much. And this is actually if and only if anyway. It follows that R to D as a Schur multiplier. I did not take the Schur multiplier law by CD, and I explain later why I need to do that. If anyway, Schur multiplier law is equal 1, but then it's the formulated by 1 for any R between D and 1. And then this talk, I would like to generalize this to hyperbolic groups. Hyperbolic graph. Gamma now is graph. Yes, it's graph. It's hyperbolic. If this huge constant delta, such that for each geodesic triangle, which is a geodesic triangle, and each vertex, each edge, is contained in the delta neighborhood of other two, in delta neighborhood of the union of other two. And pictorially, it's simple. That it's like this. You choose x and y, x, y, w, 3 points in gamma, and you choose any geodesic. Geodesic means it's just a isometric copy of discrete interval 0 to n or something. But unless it's a tree, there's a lot of possibility of geodesic like this or like that. But anyway, you choose anything. But this is a geodesic triangle. That you choose 3 points and you choose any geodesic between them. And so if you take a delta neighborhood of this two, it's delta neighborhood, and if you take delta neighborhood of this edge and this edge, it contains this one as well. In three cases, it's clear that any delta neighborhood or zero neighborhood of this and this contains the other edge. And just that bit, yes. And this hyperbolicity is a very robust notion, and it's invariant and it's clear invariant and finite changes of matrix. Or you could just finite change of some graph, because finite change means what? If that changes the matrix finite amount, then if everything is absorbed by delta, and it's okay. But the theorem of Gromov is that this notion is also invariant and by which the equivalent no distance. And this gives us the next definition, that gamma is now it's good, finite regenerative, is hyperbolic. If it's Kelly graph, it's hyperbolic. If it's Kelly graph, it's hyperbolic.
So it doesn't really generate
it? Yes, and it's independent of because changing generating space is finite generated, it's finite. Changing generating space, it changes the metric by Lipschitz way, that is, if you take S prime instead of S, then S prime is contained in the nth power of S, which means just the distance is up to at most N times the original distance here, or the other side. And the theorem of it. Mine is that this here is that if gamma is hyperbolic graph, but bounded degree or Actually, you can relax a bit, but anyway, from bounded area. Then the, actually, this other theorem has a genus. Okay. I can write it here. The other theorem has a generalization by Pitolik and Schwarz. Pitolik. Schwarz is very inspired by Topani and Hogarth's result, but even this extends to a complex plane, complex disk, unit disk. This is dominated by 1 minus D, 1 minus D, but absolute value can be. D in the disk, disk is a complex number with absolute value less than 1. More base holomorphic. Holomorphic means holomorphic into the set of the bound space of Schumann. And actually, holomorphic is very important, and I will talk later. So the same thing holds basically for hyperbolic graph. But then this, there exists a constant C. It cannot be 1 if this is a group and has property T. But V to D, this Schumann, normal Schumann multiplier is dominated by C times 1 minus V, or this, 1 minus this, more for more. In particular, if this is mirror, that this is from D. If this is mirror, this is bounded by C uniformly, and this is by the, as far as I know, first example of the purely completely bounded semigroup. There are lots of completely positive semigroups that is studied a lot, but this is completely bounded semigroup. And the result is somewhat surprising because hyperbolic, the notion of hyperbolicity is very robust, and you can change metric a little bit every day or expand or distort, and it's still hyperbolic. But the Schumann multiplier, norm is very sensitive under the perturbation. But still this precise result is good. It's a graph. If it's group, then it's K graph is also. K graph certainly has bounded thing. And that's actually application is like in that case. Yes, then I talk about this TB norm, Schumann multiplier. That K is a kernel of gamma. Gamma is just a set. To C. And the multiplier K is a match from B of L2 gamma into L2 gamma, B of L2 gamma. That's which match. The operator P is, I expanded this as a infinite times gamma matrix. To mask to just pure multiplication. Of course, this need not be bounded anymore. But anyway. And it's called pure multiplier if this is bounded or equivalent if this is everywhere defined. And the basic theorem on this theory is that for K, the following equivalent, that it's bounded, but it's a pure multiplier. Or, it's CV norm, be bounded by one. Actually, TV no mind, because I don't use TV no mind, I don't use TV strength, but the most of you know that. And just TV means that to distinguish it from anything you know or other mode. And three is that there is just the Hilbert space vector, psi and eta from gamma to some Hilbert space, the same thing with Hilbert space. Such that two, these are all bounded uniform, the bounded two, eta again, eta y is bounded, and k factorized by this eta and y psi. Actually, this theorem is perhaps due to Gauss and Deep, at least the qualitative version is done by Gauss and Deep. It's a precise version, but the known one version is perhaps Hagraff or Olsen or somebody else. Okay. By the way, I only use proof 3 implied 2, which is very trivial. That I define B from L2 gamma to L2 gamma tensor H by delta X is mapped to delta X tensor psi X. This is a contraction, yeah? Because psi X is all norm 1, less than 1. And the W is the same, but W delta Y is delta Y tensor eta Y. Then there are B star. You can check B star. What B tensor identity W is. This is a Schur multiplier. This is all about Schur multipliers. Yes. And for notation that I just for simplicity, then I write Z to the B, CD norm, which means just as a Schur multiplier. I didn't see KCD, Schur multiplier norm. Yes. This is same as CD norm. And when gamma is not just set, it's group, it's the other notion, the Hertz Schur multiplier norm. Now gamma is a group. By the way, group, to me, group means only countable and discrete. Yeah. And f is a function, any function. Then mf, which by definition which is mk, but k is, now it's just a single variable function, that's why I expanded kxy is fxy inverse. Yeah. And this is a kernel, and you can define Schur multiplier if it's bounded. And this is MF. And MF, this choice of xy inverse, not x inverse, y is just for the convenience sake, that the regular representation leaves this form. No. That is equivariant, that is. So MF lambda S becomes FS, this is a scalar, lambda S. Yes? So it multiplies fifth algebra, that reduces fifth algebra into itself, if it's bounded. And there's a theorem of Bojeik-Fendura. Bojeik-Fendura is that the MF CB norm or norm, just norm, they are same, is equal to the MF restricted to theta algebra generated by gamma, lambda gamma, CB norm. this part is, it has to be CB-norm. The norm on this theorem multiplier restricted to this algebra does not coincide with the CB-norm. But on Biovel, it coincides. And I just denote it by F CB for simplicity. Yeah. There are a lot of examples of this self-Schumann multiplier, mainly come from uniformly bounded representation, opposed to the unitary representation. Phi is this representation on Hilbert space, but it's not unitary, just invertible and uniformly bounded. Actually, uniformly bounded or not, doesn't mean the uniformly bounded, let's say. Then I define Fs to be the this form, I S eta psi, for some psi and eta, anyway. then you compute this Schumann multiplier norm that you want to factorize this as a Hilbert space vector. Yeah? That the norm is calculated in this way, after its upper bound. But it is very simply pi y inverse eta pi x star, which need not be equal to pi x inverse. Right. So this means that XEB, the Hilbert norm, is dominated by pi norm. Pi norm means the slope of this pi x square, because there are two and psi x. Unfortunately, there is always a Hilbert multiplier which does not arise as a coefficient of uniformly bounded representation. And it's still unclear that this Hilbert multiplier, or if you restrict it to group, this Hilbert multiplier comes from a uniformly bounded representation or not. It's not clear, but I assume so. That is one thing. And I just wrote this HS Hilbert multiplier. The gamma group is now it's good. Yeah. Gamma is weakly, that's why it's good. Gamma is called weakly amenable if in which constant C. If there exists a sequence because it's counterweight, it's not counterweight net of functions such that the gamma should be such that the first of all is finitely supported, so everything is finitely supported. And second, it's converges to 1 pointwise. And third, this Hilbert norm is stupid bounded by C. Yeah. you make some kind of what? Chesaron minimum or what? Like that. You can multiply this finitely supported function reduced group fixed algebra element, and it's bounded on that reduced group fixed algebra. And this property can be used to prove several things if it group public.
What is the definition of this property with a property A?
It implies the exactness, yes. But the exactness doesn't imply this. There's a weaker version that fits weakly amenable with, say, constant infinity, which is each holography and class called AP. And AP also implies this property A, but the converse is not clear. It's not known.
Okay.
Example is that the corollary to that theorem is that the hyperbolic group has this property of this RV theorem. And it was known by work of Dohnányi-Hagerup, or Kavling-Hagerup, that any lattice is of simple leaves of rank 1, real rank 1, simple leaves of R rank 1, are weakly amenable. What is the relationship that all compact lattices in legal of real rank 1 is hyperbolic? And there are hyperbolic groups containing other examples, and in particular hyperbolic groups contain some trivial groups with property C, and in that case this C cannot be 1, and the Hagerup computed exactly what is the best constant C in this case. And I don't get any estimation of C on that even this constant. And also Hagerup shows that the lattices in real rank greater than 2, so greater than or equal to 2, then in this case it's not weakly amenable. So it is still a property, but it's not weakly amenable. There are lots of results that separating this real higher rank case and the hyperbolic case. Hyperbolic case, they may have property, but it's something, an accident that they should not have it. And there's a lot of results that separating the hyperbolic group and higher rank group. And this is one of the things. It's a proof of theorem to corollary is very simple. Theorem is that we get this estimate, and corollary is that it's weakly amenable. So I just set the Fz for Fz. Fz is x to the z to length of x, x in gamma, z in z. And from this, that z to the e has a CD norm less than this, means that this is an equivariant thing for Schur norm. It's dominated by the same thing. And that is in particular FR tends to 1 because it's R to X point wide, and FR CB norm is dominated by C, uniformly bounded. Now the problem is that it's not finitely supported. It's because R to the length, it's C naught function. But it's very easily fixed. So it suffices to show this OPFR is approximated by finitely supported functions in Hertzsprung norm. So it's in pedantic way writing. It's HS0, which is by definition closure of finitely supported functions. Inside this HS, the path space of Hertzsprung multiplier. And then we get that this D from Z to FZ in HS, that Hertzsprung multiplier, this is holomorphic. That's not what theorem proves. It's holomorphic, and it's clearly in HS node if Z is very small, and this is in actually when this is approximated by finitely supported function, if it's L1, then it's clearly approximated by finitely supported function L1 gamma, which is in HS node of Z smaller than, because it's finitely generated, there's a growth function, there's exponential growth, and if it's less than the 1 over growth rate, it's in L1, it's gamma growth, and hence it's approximated by finitely supported function in Hertzsprung norm, because L1 norm dominates anything. But then from this setting, that if anything is mapped from disk to Banach space, which is holomorphic, and at some region or at some line, or if in the Banach subspace, then everything is in this Banach subspace because their extension is unique, holomorphic. That HS node, which is FZ is holomorphic into here and zero in this region, so it's zero everywhere actually. So this FZ in HS node, and this by uniqueness of holomorphic extension. There's only 5 minutes today. And I should not be using this. The proof of the theorem, this is also very simple, and it's anyway written in the preprint of 7 pages or so, and every detail is written there. And proof when gamma is a tree, it's even simpler. Actually, this doesn't appear anywhere, but one can extract this from Peterich Schwartz paper. That part fits. This proof of the theorem that the Schur norm is bounded in. It's a geodesic ray omega in gamma. This means just an isometric copy of M in gamma. It's 3. It's one such that is fixing point at infinity, then for each x in gamma, there exists a unique Chinese omega x starting at this is 0 dB, 0 dB starting at x and flows into omega. Okay? It's starting from x, you there is omega x, this is omega. It's unique because it's free. And I just said for the z in this, delta z, this is a vector for each x. If there's normalization constant turns out to be 1 minus z square root. Square root is principal ground, anything. And c to k, and the direct function of omega x k, like k doesn't have to k, 0 to 2. This is some of the absolute value less than one. Then I compute what happens to this factorization, but it's complex conjugate. But I want to factorize the single multiplier in the Hilbert space vector and take in the program. So this vector is in L2 gamma. Yes? This is in the product in L2 gamma. Then it's 1 minus V square summation K and L Z K plus L. Now it's not Dirac delta, Kronecker delta. Omega x a is equal to omega y delta. Then I do the change of variable. N is 0 to infinity, z to n. K is 0 to n. Then the delta, omega x k, omega y, n minus k. Now I check when they meet that here's x, and this is omega, up infinity, and here's y. And this point is omega x k, omega x n minus, omega y n minus k. And then the length here is m, let's say, and the length here is d, which d is dxy. Then you solve the equation that it's from here to here is k, from here to here is n minus k. Then you get n is m more b plus 2m. And if this equation is satisfied, then for some k, they are missing point, random point, because when you increase k from 0 to n, it goes, this dot goes to in this way, and n minus k comes from this way, and it needs some fair one, and only one, if this part is even. So you get actually this 1 minus b square summation, n is what? B plus 2n, n is 0 to infinity z, n is b plus 2m, and this is this means 1 plus 1 is 1, and it's that's what we wanted. And zeta is known, is easily calculated. It's defined in that way, so it's now 1 minus b square absolute value, and summation b square k. B from D into Zeta, B This is an infinity gamma into a 2 gamma. It's homomorphic. Because it's just written by, written in analytics, that's written in according to the convergent series. So it's homomorphic. And now finally, this finishes the proof from 3K and 3K. Actually, finding this proof for 3 almost half done for hyperbolic case and half hyperbolic case. There are only one trick you need to generate the hyperbolic case, because hyperbolic case, there's no geodesic path is not unique. There are several geodesic paths, and you get the, not omega xk, you get some finite subset here. And then to get around it, you just define that if p is any gamma, it's finite. Then you define delta, psi p plus minus. This is in L2, finite subset of gamma, power set set, finite subset of gamma, that's defined by S plus minus, there are two vectors, is 1 or 0, 1 if S is in p and 0 otherwise. Then this is a vector which normally is controlled by cardinality of P, where it's going to be P. And if you take inner product, psi t, minus plus, this inner product is either 0 or 1, 0 if they intersect, and 1 if they don't. If they don't intersect, there's an empty set is both contained here, so you get 1. And if they intersect, it's just binomial theorem, you get 0. And this gives us the 0-1 thing you want to
Are there some signs for the significance of this psi plus minus?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, of course. What is the same?
Plus minus,
plus the key. Okay, thank you. Yes, plus minus, plus the key. Now, binomial, so it's binomial theory. Actually, if you want to this direction, this thing can be generalized to. In this case, this thing should be understood as weak complex, and you can generate to other complex, and you get always this part is, but it, in this case, it's half complex, and you get Euler characteristic here. And in many cases, the intersection is Euler characteristic 1 or 0, and you can get 0-1 function like this.
Do you have any idea about
optimal constant is 2n-1, so it's related to the dimension of boundary, yes, hyperbolic boundary, it's just widely speculating from this.